Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, and I'm joined by, the gang's back together again.
Woo-woo!
We are. That's right. We have Ziggy Stardust.
That's me.
Right. Ziggy. Sam Rodriguez is here. I'm so glad that you're here, Sam. And, of course, we have Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Waiting on those miracles and death. And so this is going to be an interesting, we're starting, as you know, if you've been outside recently, it's getting warmer, which means it's the summer is here, is summer. Summer's arriving. And it's because all the stores have all the Hawaiian shirts for, all the old guys like me, who like to wear the Hawaiian shirts. I need like a deacon's clerical shirt that's a Hawaiian shirt. Or like a gray. Anybody got a line on a gray Hawaiian shirt with a tab collar? You let me know. DeaconJeff@thecatholiccafe.com. I want to get that shirt. Anyway, so summer's coming. It's getting warm outside. And so a lot of times during the summer, we at the Catholic Cafe like to do a series. We've done stuff like going when I have gone to Lourdes, and we have like a series of shows from Lourdes, France, and things like that. Well, we're going to do another series. We're starting a series today in this episode, and it's going to be it's called To Be One in Flesh, and essentially it is marriage. We're going to have a summer of holy matrimony, and so we'll welcome to the summer of holy matrimony, guys, and this is going to be really good.
Can't wait.
It's going to be fun, and we're just going to talk a lot about marriage. And you might be thinking, why? Why are we talking a lot about marriage? Now, I know everyone knows what marriage is to some degree or another. I think marriage is still an institution that people do occasionally. And you probably, for the most of you listening, you are married or are thinking about married. Or your parents most likely married. Now there's been trouble in paradise, right? We've had broken marriages, and we have divorces, and we have families that are irregular, et cetera, et cetera. We know all those things exist, but the intent has always been, and the church has always taught, that marriage is a beautiful and sacred thing, and it's been accepted that way. But what I think is, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but like it's lost its luster in the culture today, right? We don't hear a lot about marriage. In fact,
it's kind of radical now.
Yeah, it's unusual.
Yeah.
It is not
countercultural.
It is countercultural to get married. We'll talk more about that as we go, and I think that, but that's why we need to talk about it now. Mm-hmm. Because I think that a lot of people don't really realize how profound marriage is and the important role that marriage plays in first of all in a secular society, but specifically in a spiritual society, in a society that needs glue to hold it together, a spiritual glue that gives us meaning and purpose in life. And when, if Satan is attacking, so if an army general, an enemy army is trying to attack you, and they only had one bomb, they're going to drop it in the place that does the most damage. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, like, marriage in this day and age, What is Satan attacking regularly, every day? Just the concept of marriage, the concept of monogamy, of two people, mm-hmm. right? The concept of a boy who falls in love with a girl, and a girl falls in love with a boy, and they get married, and they stay together forever and have children. Just that concept. And, of course, we have all the gender confusion, ideologies, and dysphoria that's out there. All these things, and then we have certainly things like addictions, pornography, substance abuse, all these things are happening in a world that is turning marriage upside down and really pummeling it.
And Our Lady of Fatima put us on notice that this was going to be the front war, the front lines of the war. Yeah.
Exactly. Why? Because spiritually, this is where the battle is.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you have a strong marriage culture, you have a strong society.
Right.
I mean, if marriage is firm and strong, your society is going to do well. Because even in a secular, godless world,
right,
the idea of two people of the opposite sex falling in love staying with each other forever until death do us part, and having children, being open to life, is the backbone of every society, right? And then when you understand the spiritual context, you know, marriage is treated secularly, and there are secular versions of marriage that happen. You can have civil marriages, and you can have these things, and the government ratifies certain things. But the origins of marriage are all religious and spiritual.
When we look at the Great Commission, right, go make disciples. I mean, obviously, we typically think of it just within the context of discipleship.
Yeah.
Yeah, within the church and stuff. But making disciples is literally what a married couple is called to do, right? And so far, and literally making them within the be fruitful and multiply. I mean,
yeah.
Connect that to what God ordered Adam and Eve to do. Should we not assume that if that's the thing that he ordered Adam and Eve to do, be fruitful and multiply, that go make disciples would also include
right.
husbands and wives perpetuating, because we'd run out of disciples otherwise.
No, exactly. So there are two aspects to that, Ziggy, that you bring up that are exactly right. So you go and make disciples. A lot of people think like, well, that's strictly just to dominate and populate the earth.
Right.
Right, the propagation of the species. Yeah, there's that, right? But it's also making disciples. And so there's a spiritual aspect of that propagation. So it's not just about the biology of having babies,
right?
Right? This is why, and it's different because you can have babies outside of marriage, and this happens a lot, right? And in certain cultures, you know, 50, 60, 70% of babies are born out of wedlock, right? Not in a married, and there's some problems that come with that. Societal issues, problems, crime problems, there are a lot of things that happen in that setting. So understanding that the be fruitful and multiply was to Adam and Eve, which basically are the first husband and wife, right? Mm-hmm. Just from the very beginning when God made Adam, right? He looked at Adam and said, you know, it's not good that man should be alone, mm-hmm. right? God, truer words could not be spoken. Whenever we're alone, guys, we do stupid things, mm-hmm. right? We are not going to get to heaven by ourselves, right? Ultimately, we need our complement. We need our counterpart. We need woman taken from the side of man to accompany us so that, you know, not just to keep us out of trouble, but to fulfill us, to complete us, you know, as Jerry Maguire says,
right.
to quote a famous film, to complete
True.
Us, right? And so there's something beautiful about seeing all this. Anyway, that was a long sort of introduction to say we need to talk about marriage. Now, I also want to pause just for a second and just run a real quick commercial. And that commercial is, if you're in a parish, you're listening to this right now, and your parish, you're thinking like, well, I wonder what our parish does for marriage prep. I wonder, like, how do we prepare couples for marriage? Because honestly, when you look at divorce statistics, even Catholics are getting married. You know, ordinary Catholics are getting married at a rate. We'll talk more about statistics a little bit later in one of the episodes, but it's still, the divorce rate is about the same for everybody. It's about 38%. It's 41% for the general population, but if you're Catholic, it's 38%. Hmm. You're only shaving off 3 percentage points. And then it changes based on how often you go to Mass, how often you practice what the church teaches, et cetera, and those numbers can drop off a cliff pretty quick if you're doing those things. But the reality is, Catholics are getting divorced too, and what happens here is essentially, I think, there's a lack of really genuine, true, authentic preparation going on here. There's a lack of a catechumenate for marriage, like a couple like going through this process of understanding fully what they're engaging in. And we're dropping the ball. I say we, and I'm pointing to myself in my little clerical shirt as a deacon. The church has been dropping the ball for years in terms of formation, helping couples know what they're getting ready to get into. Sam, one day you're hoping and praying,
yes.
right? You're looking for Mrs. Rodriguez, and
yeah.
we're praying for you too.
If she's out there right now, hey.
That's right. Do not send an email to Deacon Jeff. I have to screen his future wife. No, in a situation where you're looking for a couple, Tom and I, we have between us 75 years of marriage experience.
Crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
That is
now,
crazy.
I don't know about you. My marriage prep was terrible. Do you remember yours?
Not really.
Okay, so it was terrible. I'm just saying it was not impactful. When I say terrible,
yeah.
I don't think they taught us any heresy. I think we just, it was like going to the skating rink.
Yeah.
We just kind of got put on our little skates and we kind of went round and round in circles, you know, and every once in a while they put the mirror ball on and play some nice romantic music. And I felt like, oh, that was nice. That was nice. But it was like, I don't like remember anything that was said. I asked my wife Bess.
It should be eventful, actually.
Well, it should be something you remember.
Right.
Even, you know, and so I asked Bess, I said, do you remember anything that was said? And then she had these images. I think she remembered, like, kind of like the setting where we were. Of course, for us, this is 36 years ago. You were 38 or whatever. And it's like, I'm like 30. So this would have been 37 years ago. And I kind of remember where. And it was on a Saturday. And I remember an old couple. Now, that old couple would be me now, right? Mm-hmm. There'd be somebody in their 50s or 60s standing there talking to us. And we're like young and dumb. And we're like... We're on the floor of this old church building, drawing hearts, you know, in the dust on the floor. You know, that's what we're doing the whole time. That's what I remember. I don't remember what was said, right? So that's, to me, that's terrible marriage prep. It's not necessarily the fault. Maybe it's my fault because I didn't listen. And I fully take some of that blame. Mm-hmm. But we need to do a better job of impacting people who are about to get married. Because what this marriage is doing, essentially... is the method, the mode of salvation for the whole world, mm-hmm. right? This is the way God chose that Jesus would be born into the context of a family. Salvation would come through the context of the family. And so family is where the seat of salvation rests. Mm-hmm. It's not the Bible. It's not, the church even really. I mean, the church, essentially, it is in a way because it's made up of all these families, but it's the domestic church, right? It's the little church of father and mother. It's the holy family of your home, and then the being fruitful. So we're going to talk about all that theology in this thing. And the commercial I wanted to give, which took too long, is essentially if your parish is interested, one of the things I do is I travel to parishes, to groups, to conferences, and I talk about marriage. And so I would love to come and visit you at your parish. And talk about, like, I can talk to, in a consulting way to those that prepare people for marriage in your parish or your diocese. I can talk to your parish and give a presentation on marriage and sort of help rekindle the understanding of the beauty and the gift, the sacredness and the reverence of holy matrimony and that sacrament. And so there's a lot of possibilities, but we really need to rekindle this. So if you are interested, all you have to do is reach out to me, DeaconJeff@thecatholiccafe.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you, and we can talk about how that takes place, what programs exist, and what talk can be given, and who can benefit. But we really all have to be thinking about how to make marriage what it was intended to be, and it's kind of fallen off the shelf a little bit. And it's gotten a little dusty and dirty, and we need to polish marriage up again and help people understand so that it has its natural beauty and luster once again. So that is the goal of what we're doing here in these sessions that are going to be multiple shows. So if you're thinking like, hey, I'm already married, I don't need to listen to the Catholic Cafe, I promise you, I also have a whole marriage enrichment program that's based on the same material. And the reason why is, as Tom and I will attest, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Tom, but, 36 years for me, 38 years for you, mm-hmm. 74 and a half, of experience, we went to the school of hard knocks.
We did.
Well, the church calls it the school of perfection. That's what marriage is.
Okay,
the
I like
school,
that.
It's a beautiful ancient phrase, a school of perfection. We didn't really have good marriage prep. And even now... as I was putting all this material together, I realized that, like, man, this is a great refresher for anyone who's been married for 1 year, 10 years, 50 years.
Yeah.
If you've been married for 50 years, you're thinking, I've got it solved. Do you know how many couples actually get divorced, like, in their 20s? My parents got divorced in their 25th year.
Yeah.
Right? And you think, well, you're done. You made it.
Right.
25 years or 50 years. I just read about a couple that had been married for over 50 years, and they got divorced. And it's like,
it's not
how?
Funny.
I know it's not funny, but you have to think, like, what could have possibly happened? Yeah. Was it one thing? But it's like, I think it's because they didn't necessarily revisit all of the material we're going to talk about.
Yeah, they might have stayed together for the children,
yeah.
But not. They didn't have that fundamental bond nurtured between them in the way that it needed to be there for one another in Christ.
100%, because it's a life-giving bond.
Yeah,
it's a living covenant. It's a living bond, right? There is life in marriage, and so as soon as there's a cessation of life, in other words, if you're waiting until the children or whatever, I see that a lot, right? As soon as the kids are off at college, then the parents go like, they're empty nesters, and they're like sitting there going, and then they'll say things like, we fell out of love. But I think that maybe they misunderstood or didn't know love at the beginning. And I'm not going to judge people. I don't know their particular situation. And I know we're also probably talking to some folks who are listening right now who have been divorced, who suffer some wounds, and maybe they have a struggling marriage right now. There is never going to be any judgment that comes from me, any of us here. It just, trust me, if you knew my life, right, and what I've lived through and what I've done in my life, I have no room to judge, point fingers, and that's never going to happen. However, I do think that in a certain way, I've taken enough naps like St. Joseph, and God has spoken to me in a couple of ways where I think this material, as it rolls out, is something that's going to be helpful for everyone to revisit. Maybe you're nailing this or you're doing this really well, but maybe you've got like, I kind of have forgotten about that.
And it's not going to just be for young people who are preparing for marriage, but it could also be a refresher for those who have been married for many years or even many decades.
100%.
To ground them in why is it that they're staying together with the same person? Why is it still worth it, even though it's so hard, you know?
Yeah. It's a career choice.
Yeah.
It's not just a job. Again, it's a living, life-giving thing. But it's something that... It's a vocation. It's a calling. And it is truly a vocation, right? When we have Vocations Awareness Week, every time I do it, I always... You know, you mention the priests, right? You got to mention the priests. You got to mention the religious. I always make sure we're mentioning the diaconate, right? And these are vocations. But there's also... there are people that are called to be celibate and single their entire life that aren't in a religious order, right? But then there's also the majority of us are called to marriage.
Yeah.
Right? Now, of course, if you're a deacon, you get all seven sacraments. But we'll just leave that there. You know, I'm not going to say that's better necessarily, but it is. Anyway, so that was really bad. I'm going to get an email. Sorry, please, I don't want to offend anybody. You know, especially the ladies out there going like, well, we can't be deaconesses, so we can't have all seven. It's okay. It's all right. God loves you very much, and I do too. Anyway, all that aside, I think I dug myself into a hole there, and I'm probably not going to get out of it. And my apologies to all, so anyway. And apologies for all the future mistakes I will make in life. That really should have been my wedding vow.
Well, you lead all your confessions with that.
Yes, exactly. Bless me, Father, I've sinned. I'm going to send a lot more. So can I go ahead and get like sort of a blanket dispensation for, anyway. So all that aside, so I'll say this, what we've talked about, like with couples, what they view, what they understand, and when they come. I love doing marriage prep. And one of the reasons I love it, and I tell people this all the time, and I usually, if I preach at the couple's wedding, if they're doing like outside mass, and because a lot of times the people that I prepare are ones that I'm doing the wedding. That's one of the things the church is envisioning in the order of celebrating matrimony, the new wedding book. It actually says that the priest, and by extrapolation you can say the deacon, the priest who officiates at the wedding, who receives the vows, and who preaches, should be the one that prepared them. That's what it says. That's what the church intends. And I know right now it's not what usually happens because we have priests that will meet with them a couple of times, but you have these wedding coordinators, you have these wedding planners, you have these people, and sometimes you'll have mentor couples and things in parishes. And those are all good things, right? But I usually want to be very involved in the preparation of the couple. I want to get to know them because I want to know that the sacrament that I am going to essentially witness on their behalf, I want to make sure that this is right for them, and they're right for it.
Which that's what the church wants.
That's what the church intends, right? So when I'm seeing these couples, so I love doing this because really I kind of get to say, like, you know, I love my wife dearly. Hi, Bess. I love you. And I know she loves me. And one of the things I benefit from marriage prep is I get to fall in love with my wife all over again because I see these little starry-eyed, doe-eyed kids sitting in front of me. And I remember myself being a starry-eyed kid at a certain time, and I remember like, will you marry me? You know, I remember that time, and I always, my hair stands up on the back of my neck, and I always remember that being such a special time. That's something I'll never forget. And then, but I remember it more as I go through this marriage preparation when I see these couples. So I get to watch the couples in love, and I get to fall in love with my wife all over again. So it's a beautiful thing to revisit. But when I'm talking to couples, one of the first things I will tell them is like, you know, you're going to hear a word over the next year, especially after you get married. You're going to hear a word over and over and over again. And it's become like, how's the weather, right? It's become like that. But that word is congratulations. We just got married. Well, congratulations. You know, and you're thinking, why did you say congratulations? If you stop it, now, first of all, you're not going to say that. You're going to be like, well, thank you very much. You know, we're really happy. And congratulations is kind of a unique word because it's really about, it's really not like just this passing, like, thumbs up. You know, it really means something specific that you've accomplished something, right? You know, it's like congratulations. I mean, the Latin root is like with grace. You know, you've accomplished something. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, did I climb Mount Everest? Did I get a new job? What is it that I did that warrants a congratulations? And you stop and think about it. So I let these couples know, like right off the bat, that they're being congratulated for a couple of things. Like one is congratulations for be willing to do something that has fallen out of fashion in the world. Mm-hmm. You are doing something that is ultimately countercultural. Tom, you mentioned that. That marriage is countercultural. It's not what everybody's doing, right? A lot of young people are either they're just having casual relationships, or they are living together. They're waiting a long time, right? And so, congratulations on your willingness to do something that's falling out of favor for the rest of the world, right? To actually marry to it's like boldly kind of like carry the banner of marriage. Right? That's worthy of congratulations. And another reason I congratulate them, you know, your willingness to commit. And as I said, a lot of marriages are not really marriages. You're not really committing. You're actually thinking in the back of your mind. All right, this is one of the sad things that divorce does. It gives somebody an escape plan. It's just well, I guess if this doesn't work, I can do what my parents said, or I can do what other people do. And we'll just go to the courts, and, you know, it'll be messy. I don't want to do that. But I suppose that's a way out. Right, so we start to go into something, not committing to it on the front end. But to marry, especially in the Catholic Church, is to say, let no man, let no one put asunder, let no man separate what God has joined together. We say that in the marriage ceremony still, mm-hmm. right? Because we don't want the divorce. And so congratulations on your willingness, right, to commit to each other, to say, I am not choosing anything of the world's culture, I am choosing you, mm-hmm. all right, to be with me for the rest of my life. And then there's also this idea of you need to be congratulated for your willingness to be transformed, to give yourself to God and allow God to transform you, right, to change you. A lot of people don't want that. I want to get married, but I want to have a prenuptial agreement. I want to have all, whatever I brought into this, I want to have that's still mine. In other words, I don't want to change. But in marriage, when you view it as the Catholic Church views it, you are being willing to be transformed. I am not the same person. Tom, you're not the same person Mm-mm. as when we first got married. We are so different, right? Oh, yeah. We've grown together in love with our wives, you know, grafted on the vine. It's an intertwining vine that has resulted. We have our individual identities, but we are vastly different than we were when we first. We are transformed by God in the process of marriage. Well, congratulations on that, because that's not something that is easy to do. And then the last kind of congratulations that I offer, and a reason for it, is you are willing to carry a neon sign as a path for others to follow. In other words, you are like saying, like, look at what we're doing. You're advertising marriage. Your better word is witnessing, right, the love of God and the love of the Son, and the spiration, or the gift of love, the fruitful love of the Holy Spirit that results from that. You are willing to live that as an example for others, and that's something that needs to be applauded, mm-hmm. right? So all of those reasons are reasons to be applauded, to be congratulated. And so this is sort of our introduction to a whole series on marriage. So I hope you'll listen to all these episodes. I hope that you will share these with family and friends if you know if someone is getting ready to get married. And if you want me to come and visit your parish your institution, your club, your group, we can arrange that. We can figure out how to do that. Send me an email, deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. And so...
I bet that's good, by the way.
What?
Your presentation.
I love it.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know what? I have. There's a passion and there's an energy when I speak about this stuff.
You ever thought about bringing Ziggy with you?
You know what? Yeah, I have. Okay. I have. But you know what?
It was fleeting.
If you've ever, yeah, if you've ever been in the car with him, I drove to Gower, Missouri with him for 9 hours. We actually got lost too, didn't we?
We did.
It was like 10 hours, and there was like 3 minutes in there where he wasn't talking.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. No, it was great. I don't want to beat up on Ziggy because man, I this is why I'm going to say nice things about you. I love you here because you are like this fountain of information, a fountain of love. You are all this creativity that comes once you've joined us. So I'm happy that you're Tom and I've been here for almost 16 years.
Wow.
And you joined us about halfway through, but we are so excited to have you, Ziggy. So
I'm excited too.
they can bring the whole team. We'll all go to wherever we go. Now that might affect the cost a little bit, but I'll just say we can work things out. Just send me an email, deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com, and literally join us for this experience and this understanding of marriage. Revisiting what's going to happen, revisiting what's supposed to happen in marriage. Those who are thinking about marriage and planning to be married, those who have found that perfect person and haven't popped the question, those who just want to know more, those who have a fiance and you're joined together, all of you, listen to this series because you're going to pick something up. And of course, you who have been married for 50 years, 25 years, 10 years, whatever it is, you're going to get something out of this. So please join us for a summer of holy matrimony. Let's ask the Blessed Mother to be with us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.